Okay, let's resume our.
It's on now.
Okay, let's resume our meeting. It's 1:24, and we're going to move to agenda item 14. Mr. Briggs?
Agenda item 14 is regarding the County of Santa Barbara Stormwater Management Program. And what this is a status report on their second year of implementation of their stormwater management plan, our review, which included an audit of their program, which is a more extensive review. And making a few comments on our written report today is Brandon Sanderson.
Thank you, Roger.
Don't need to get that close.
Chairman, members of the board, thank you very much for having me this afternoon. I just want to make a short statement regarding Santa Barbara County's annual report update. But first, I'd like to send my condolences to the families affected by the fire down there in Santa Barbara dealing with that situation. It's quite a dramatic situation. So, item 14 before you includes a copy of the staff report, our annual report review, the county's previous response to last year's review, and I think you should also have received a question and answer document this morning in response to some of the board members' questions. Hopefully you've all received that. Our stormwater management annual review process consisted of reviewing the annual report for consistency with the stormwater management plan and the general permit requirements, as well as our previous requirements submitted to the county last year in our review. We look at this annual report very closely to make sure that their actions are clearly documented and that BMPs are implemented and effectively evaluated for their effectiveness. I also reviewed the county's revised stormwater management plan that was provided in red line strike-through format along with the annual report to make sure that it as well was consistent with the requirements and that there wasn't any major changes that staff would have to evaluate and determine its appropriability, if it was appropriate or not. I also reviewed considered stakeholder comments that was provided to the county in response to their annual report. And as Roger mentioned, we also conducted a focused program audit of the construction and post-construction minimum control measures this year. The questions on that were based on all of the available resources and our knowledge of the problem areas with this implementation year. We found that the county has made good progress implementing their stormwater management plan. They have successfully implemented 35 of the 40 BMPs, but in general, issues arise with the county's ability to assess their program effectiveness, their partial completion of measurable goals, and the lack of clarity and detail, explaining their activities throughout the year. The county's measurable goals tend to lack parameters for evaluating how they can improve on their BMPs. I'm going to give you an example here. The county's construction workshop BMP was determined to be effective at raising the target audience awareness. Now, the content of that workshop might have accomplished this. However, there was very little attendance at the workshop, and so it was not effective at actually reaching out to the entire targeted audience. The county must be able to evaluate these real outcomes to determine where they need to improve on those BMPs for the future. We explained this to the county and provided and required them to submit further proper effectiveness evaluation in their following annual report. It's a really important idea of being able to evaluate the effectiveness of their BMPs in which the municipalities seem to have a little bit of a struggle bringing it to that level. We found that the county's response to our previous report was appropriate And you did receive a copy of that letter dated March 28, 2009 in your agenda package. However, the county did not address a few of our previous requests, and some of the responses that they provided we considered were unacceptable. So to resolve that, we again asked them to provide more information and to also revise their swamp approaches so they were consistent with the general permit requirements and our expectations. Again, an example of this was where the county's inspection findings provided a correction notice. Those correction notices were discarded once the inspector determined that the correction was complete. Now, to us, that's completely unacceptable, and it's also a violation of the general permit, which requires the county to retain those records for at least 5 years. The county must track this implementation or this documentation to be able to eliminate, you know, the reoccurring discharges and to prevent future discharges from happening. As we mentioned earlier, we conducted an audit this year of the construction and post-construction minimum control measures, in which we found the county has made a good effort implementing stormwater controls into its development and planning programs. However, we did determine that their grading code must be improved. The definitions must be broadened for their water body types that are looked at and considered under that code, their land use disturbance activities, and their riparian and water course protection. They must also improve on the utility of their enforcement tools to return violators back into compliance and, again, deter future violations from occurring. Now, this was our very first audit for the municipal program, so it was a learning experience for us. We did find that it was very informative and helpful, however, very time-intensive. We have decided to continue focusing on we have continued with focused program audits for minimum control measures, approximately two to three per annual report review cycle, and not the larger comprehensive audits, which seem to lose focus on the real key issues. We will prioritize which municipalities to conduct these audits for based on our observations of the implementation year and as part of our annual report review. We will also select which minimum control measures to focus on based on our knowledge of problem issues and new BMPs developed for that implementation year. Now, I'd like to take this moment to introduce Joy Hushmid, sitting right over here. She's Santa Barbara County's new stormwater manager. This is a newly developed position that has been specifically allocated funds to the management of stormwater in Santa Barbara County. And we feel that, and we anticipate that this will greatly improve the implementation of stormwater management in Santa Barbara County for the future. So I'd like to welcome Joy aboard with Santa Barbara County. And now at this time, if any of the board members have any questions, I would be happy to answer those for you.
Any questions, Mr. Shallcross?
Just a couple. Well, I think having a stormwater management person, that's great. That's just...
especially at these times,
yeah,
you know, with the budget.
Yeah,
that's a big step.
Unbelievable.
If you recall, Rob Almey was trying to cover a lot of those hats before.
Yeah. So now this is fantastic, and it really goes to how Santa Barbara seems to have really stepped up to the plate. Overall, I think it looks like they've done a pretty good job. I have a question on that. What were the documents they were supposed to keep for 5 years?
Any kind of inspection records, okay. You know, any monitoring
and
data.
And what were they doing with those?
Apparently, they were recorded in field notes. In which supposedly they're available at request. However, their previous response stated that those documents were being discarded.
How long after they took the notes did they discard them?
Didn't specify. I would assume shortly after. But what I'm trying to get at is that those must be tracked and documented.
Exactly. I mean, what I was wondering is, if did they actually have a procedure where, we keep these for a year and then we throw them away, or were they just tossing them after a week or so? Or
I'm not specifically aware.
Oh, we don't know. Okay.
Well, Brandon, I thought you said earlier that once the issue was resolved, they threw them out.
Exactly. Once the correction was complete, they threw them. Yeah, they were discarded.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what time frame that might have been.
Seems like some of their enforcement stuff needs a little help there.
Definitely. And we've addressed that in our annual report review quite a bit. Those are some of the key issues that we need to focus on. They have the tools available to them. They just need to make sure and utilize them to their best of the ability.
Okay. Thanks.
Dr. Hunter.
Yeah, thank you. I did follow up on some of the online links, and I'm trying to get back to the monitoring, the minimum control monitoring table. Isn't there an MCM monitoring table? And it's a very helpful document. It's online. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. Do you? Did you get a hard copy of everything that's posted represented as the annual report?
As far as the data, the monitoring data, they did provide under separate cover their monitoring data for 303 delisted water bodies.
Okay. Well, and I'm sorry, I was trying, I thought I had it bookmarked, and I see I don't, but there is a table that's posted for the public, and it's a very good table that shows all the BMPs, and it's very concise. It's not a long table at all. I found it to be helpful to see the range and scope.
Closer to that, maybe?
Yeah.
The status of their measurable goals?
I'll continue to look for it and make sure I'll tell you which table I'm referring to, because it's the one that's available online, but as part of the annual report set of documents. I think, though, that it would have been helpful to have a little more detail in terms of it's a status report, and it says completed and ongoing. Completed and ongoing.
Yes.
And you're in second year of the program, and that has no relevance. It's like, I don't know what that means. And so it was such a consistent statement, completed and ongoing, with a few that said year three, year four, year five, so you could see, well, that hasn't actually happened. But the status report should indicate a little more detail of how far they are, and something that's going to come online in year three, there probably is some work to report on. So maybe a little bit more detail would be helpful to folks who are trying to understand how the county's program is progressing. So I will continue to look for that table and find it, because that's not a very helpful comment without knowing which table I'm talking about.
Now, they do provide a lot of that detailed information within the actual annual report. That table does really help in,
Can you tell me the title of that table? You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, the status of measurable goals, I think.
That's it. Status of measurable goals.
Yeah, in the beginning of the annual report.
Yes.
And it just helps you, it really helps me be able to run through and understand what BMPs were required for that year and what the status is.
Mm-hmm.
But then to find out more information on that, they usually provide that in the annual report itself.
Yeah, well, I think I noticed that in some places where there was substance to report, they did include things like number of training sessions held, or so there was something there that I could see what level of activity and the pace at which things were going. If it said held 12 training sessions this year, that would tell me that's pretty active. Held 2 training sessions this year, so it gives you a sense of the pace of activity that's going on. In other areas where there wasn't a lot to report, that's where I'm getting at, that it should be reflecting that not good progress is being made. So with public outreach and public involvement, for example, when you get into the narrative, it tells you one person showed up at a meeting. And so I think that would be important to see that same level of detail that, hey, here's a spot where more work clearly has to be done.
It's been complete, but improvements needed,
right,
probably, or something like that.
Right, it's complete and ongoing, but it doesn't show that they're not actually meeting a standard or meeting some kind of intended outreach level or involvement level. So to that degree, I would like to see a little more consistency and just more details of what that activity really is. I think that table would be a lot more effective, and I agree, it's very helpful to see the list and be able to just kind of, it's kind of that at a glance kind of perspective.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. A lot of these where it says it's completed, I'm the one that's actually looking through it closer to make sure that to what extent, and do we consider that actually being complete when
right.
It's been a very little attendance.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Something like that. So
yeah.
It's something we've had to determine whether measurable goals actually been complete or not, which was found in this case for I think a few of the measurable goals.
Right. So I would encourage the county to be more specific in that table. I have a few more comments. If I should just go ahead with my comments now.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Another thing that I noticed is that the county reports that they had a 247% increase in the use of their website. There's one point clearly where some high activity or interaction is going on, and I was wondering if they're going to utilize that point of connection to help leapfrog into some of the other areas that are not going as effectively in terms of public outreach. So clearly, and I'm interested to know why they think they had such great response at the website and they're getting very little actual response of community at the neighborhood and kind of local meeting level. I think one other question that I had regarding the brochures, I think that was answered in the staff response to other comments, but one thing I did notice was that the goal is, changing behavior, and I don't think yet we've seen anybody come back to us with an outline for how they're going to evaluate changes in behavior. So I'm eagerly watching for that. I don't find the county at fault or feel that they're insufficient in what they're doing. I'm just noting for staff that we need to start to highlight the examples of effective evaluation of changes in behavior, because I think that's going to be a very difficult thing to pin down.
They do. They do propose to conduct a survey, a public survey in year five. So that'll, depending on how they present that, that'll help target a lot of that outreach and the change.
Yeah, I know. Surveys tend to have real limits, and they can be pretty self-serving.
Sure.
So I think it's a costly way to get information that isn't really going to be of substance. But I would like to see things correlated across their program so that if, let's see, for gardening, changing behavior in the way folks address their weeds and their pest control problems at a local scale, it might be interesting to, because in the context of this program across the board, you're working with service providers that might be able to help show different trends as well. So I know in most cases we're seeing a connection to nurseries and probably a connection to local gardening services. There's probably training programs in different dimensions of that kind of activity, and it would be interesting to survey those folks who are providing services or where a point of consumption is going on and see if there's any trend changes there. That would be, I think, helpful to see. And then as far as public involvement, it's clear the county is intending to try other strategies for increasing their public involvement. It might be helpful to start to pin down some numbers. Again, it would be, by now they probably know the diversity of stakeholders and kind of interest constituent-based groups. It would be good for us to see that they've defined what those stakeholders, what their range of interests are, and start to get a little more definition as to who's not showing up. But also maybe in terms of, I think this was noted, geographic spread, that staff already noted that North County might not have as many opportunities, and so there should be that consideration as well. But I note that in Table 2.1 and Table 2.2, I think it would be important to add the number of attendees per meeting as and it's the ad number of individuals involved from each group. So we get, it's not just 10 people showed up, but which 10? You know, is it all 10 from one business sector, or, you know, so we understand a little bit better where the gaps are. I'm sure this might be an obvious comment, but let me say it anyway. You know, I see a very low participation in things like creek cleanups, and I know in coastal counties, creek cleanups and beach cleanup days are just so successful as an annual event. I'm guessing that the county's support of organizations that are very effective at getting large numbers of people out on these events, and it's family day kind of thing. It gets beyond the target or the priority for raising awareness on stormwater, and I realize it's a broader context, but it might be helpful to the county if they partnered with some of the local, well-established, you know, kind of neighborhood-level environmental organizations that are very good at doing this, and support those organizations in different ways. I know in San Luis County I've seen, for example, Creek Day, Creek Cleanup Day, supported by the county in terms of showing up with trucks and trash hauling equipment and small equipment to take large debris out of, you know, stream and creek areas. So I don't know, I can't tell from the reports whether or not that kind of partnering and activity is going on, but that certainly would be a point of connection where the county could really effectively use its resources and maybe turn to others who are more effective at doing the volunteer thing, you know, getting people turned out for those events. So those are my comments.
Okay. A few comments I had was, and I'll just use the supplemental sheet as my reference point. And most of the questions I had, I think you've answered pretty much. The whole issue of enforcement and, you know, an approach. I understand that you're kind of working on developing that, which is totally fine, and that you feel that kind of an oral letter approach initially is an appropriate first step and not too aggressive, and that you would prefer to proceed after that doesn't work with then a notice of violation or something more severe. What have you learned after having taken a lot of time, I know, to go through this one swamp and its annual report and to really peel back everything and to really look at what was done versus what was reported and analyzed? Is there anything that you've taken from this that you can say, you know, as we go through this with everyone else, we know there's a level here that we're going to miss, you know, if we don't get into these annual reports and dig, you know, more deeply. An audit's very time-consuming, so I'm wondering if there's anything that you've gleaned from this that you're going to be able to apply to the others without having to do audits. That's, I think, the goal, right, is to be able to not have to do audits with everybody because you don't have the time or resources. But
I think this is you know, this is a defining year for evaluating this program and really understanding what their responses have been previously and what steps they have made to improve on those steps to where I think, you know, the development of enforcement might become a little stronger down the line. I think audits are very important, though, in that, you know, we're able to prioritize based on our knowledge of problem issues, what those issues might be, you know, which minimum control measures to focus on and which municipalities to focus on. So I think they do play a really key role in understanding the overall program. You actually find out a lot more information by sitting down with the communities and discussing the issues with them than you might actually find out in the annual report.
And I didn't really pose that question so much focused on enforcement, but in terms of what we could be requiring from them in their annual reports from now on, and everybody, you know, now that you've done this audit and you realize, you know, we're missing information, but it's there, they've just got to report it. Or, you know, they're not doing some things that we think that they should be doing. And we didn't know that until we did an audit and saw this particular response to the VNP or the MG.
Well, I think the effectiveness assessments are a real key a part of which we've actually implemented in a lot of the recent enrollments, where we've specifically required them to set up an evaluation BNP, you know, that looks at these closely. It's been a really difficult idea for the communities to come across and relate that in some positive way for improvement. So I think that's one of the things we've actually instated in a lot of the recent enrollments that's going to help improve those programs.
Okay. The example provided here with the street sweeping. You know, I just want to share with you my thoughts on how I would be analyzing this and trying to pull more information out. Applying the State Water Board's definition of a serious attempt at implementation. Okay, they've got 1,700 total lane miles within the entire county. They pulled out 22 lane miles. Okay, the county doesn't feel you can just compare numbers, and I would agree that shouldn't be the sole criteria to use, but I would like to know more about, okay, Roads Division did a selection of the 22 miles. How was that selection made? Was it based on, well, if we use these 22, we don't have to issue tickets or do any towing, you know, the streets are always going to be available for street sweeping? You know, is it kind of a convenience criteria versus, you know, there's another 10 miles that we could do, but you know what, we're going to have to kind of prepare ourselves for towing or ticketing or something. We can't do that this year, but we could set ourselves up for doing it in years 2 or 3 or 3 and 4. But if we did these 10, boy, we'd get double the amount of contaminants off the streets as we would if we did the 22. I would feel comfortable just seeing some analysis like that. And instead of this is very kind of conclusory, and I don't have a lot of confidence that it's necessarily achieving MEP. So, let's see. Anyway. Perhaps that can be addressed in there. You've already sent them a letter for April, right, which I thought the letter was great. And the letter hit on everything that also that I highlighted what I thought was important and what they needed to do. I'd like more information on the street sweeping. And also that kind of, you know, inquiry would be helpful, you know, as you go through a lot of these things and pull out, you know, the substance to conclusions. Anyway, okay. The split in the county's budget, 75% south, 25% north, in many of these MCMs, I'm just wondering why that is. I mean, is it, do we have a proportionately greater amount of 303 delisted lineal miles of impaired water bodies in the south and the north? Is there some other reason for that? I mean, I hear things because I live in the county and I talk to people, and so it's all really unsubstantiated that, you know, the North County really doesn't care as much about grappling with water quality issues as the South County is, and that the supervisors there don't care as much, and that it's the South that, you know, has a mindset towards that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I would like to know why there's such a difference in spending. So I don't see that within their explanation here with the provided information. And perhaps they could include that in the response, if you could do an addendum to the April letter and just get more information about that. It may be justified based on the amount of impaired water bodies up there or some other criteria. There's an objective criteria, fine.
Mr. Chair, there is some explanation here.
Okay.
At the
municipal operations?
Right. A little bit in the middle of the page there, it says there are more creeks in the south.
Right.
But down here it talks about spend more time in the north as more facilities are located. Let's see. Maybe I was reading that wrong. In terms of evaluating, monitoring, training, and instituting BMPs at county facilities, we spend more time on north county sites as they're more located in the north. Then it says what tips the balance of the south is the rather high cost of maintaining the CDS units, those are the drop inlet units, right, and bioswales. All of these are located in the south as they were funded by grants targeted to the south coast. And then more street sweeping in the south than in the north, which kind of makes sense to me because of the urbanization in the south.
I mean, I think just the simple fact that there are more creeks in the south part of the county as compared to the north within the county's jurisdiction, a lot more of those efforts are focused, you know, I mean, especially with like voluntary cleanups and monitoring efforts, things like that.
Okay. All right. Any other board comments or questions on this? We have a couple of speakers we have to get to.
I have one quick thing.
Yes.
On the survey that they're doing, I don't know, have they already done a survey to compare it to? I mean, if you do a survey in year five and you haven't done anything earlier, it's pretty meaningless. I mean, unless you take a survey before you give people the information and then a survey after you give them the information. Now you see, at least you might have a better idea if maybe what you're doing is making a difference. But just to take one survey, it really doesn't tell you a whole lot.
They have, prior to the swamp being approved, they did do some public surveys to understand where their concerns and focuses are.
Okay.
And not necessarily part of the actual stormwater management plan, though.
But they could use that, maybe.
Definitely.
To compare with their more focused survey. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Chair Young. I just wondered, we got in our packets this morning this letter from Heal the Ocean, and there were questions raised about violations of the general permit. There are 15 points there, and then recommendations for improving the swamp, and I just wondered if you had comments on those issues.
I think most of those issues have been represented in our annual report review. They're basically similar. I previously reviewed Heal the Ocean's comments to the county in reviewing the annual report and consider those as part of our review. So a lot of those have already been brought up and addressed in that, and I'm looking for some response from the county in the next few months.
Okay, so there's nothing new here that really you haven't already at least had some exchange with the county. And what's the step for this kind of a detailed set of issues being raised by Heal the Ocean? Do you as staff, do you contact them and get any kind of exchange going to find out what their involvement is going to be and how they're going to communicate this to the county themselves, or is that just it's just a process that's going to happen?
I mean, that's definitely something we can do and work out. We've tried to communicate with the stakeholders as well and make sure that there's open line of communication with the county and the stakeholders. That's, we want to have it at that end and not necessarily,
right,
between us.
So. No, I understand that, and I didn't want to – I'm not trying to up the ante here. I see Lisa cringe. Jesus. There's what? One-on-one response. But I'm just curious to know, when we get this – kind of a letter, clearly Heal the Ocean is communicating to the county, and they still have these issues. It's May 5th. This letter's dated May 5th. They still have this long set of issues, and so I just wondered where in the process, how you respond to this, and how you are going to help the county address these issues.
A I didn't cross-check this one for one, but our understanding of the Heal the Ocean is they're just repeating back the list of issues that we identified by communicating directly to the county in terms of expectations on improvements or correcting deficiencies and flagging the things that we think are actually violations of the permit. So if we'd gotten this letter a little bit prior to the meeting, we probably would have responded directly to the comments, but when we did look at it and see that it was just a reiteration of what we were doing and had already kind of responded through the staff report and the other response to comments, we felt like that was somewhat covered in terms of the specifics.
Okay, that sounds good, because it sounds like then they're actually supporting the process you guys are leading, which is good. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Briggs, speaking of letters, I thought we had another letter from Channel Keeper, but I don't see it in our materials here.
You don't have it. Neither do I.
Have a distribution problem maybe. Okay. We can make copies of that for you. I didn't even have a chance to read it, so I can't even characterize it for you. I think it came in pretty late. We'll get copies for you.
Okay. Joy, is it Huff Schmidt? Okay. Would you like to speak? And then Mr. Bunin, the two of you.
Thank you. Is this on?
Yeah. It should be on.
Is it on?
Yes.
Okay.
Just
all right.
Speak up louder.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. First, I'd like to begin by saying that I recognize that there are areas of improvement within our stormwater management program, and we are committed, if I might use that word.
Let's hold up 1 second, because we're having audio difficulties.
How's this?
Can you tap on it?
Oh.
Just tap. Let's see if it...
Just tap.
It's on.
How are we now? So I just need to speak louder?
You need to speak louder.
Okay, I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah.
Again, we recognize that there are many areas of improvement within our program, and we are committed to working with your staff. We received the comment letter to our second annual report just 3 short weeks ago, and we would like the opportunity to work with your staff and go through this iterative process that you speak to, the adaptive management process. We're more than willing to do that. One thing that I would like to bring up with our April comment letter from the board, we're officially on notice that we need to develop our interim hydromodification criteria within a one-year time frame. And we think that that's too quick of a time period to be able to develop those criteria. And I would like to make a pitch for this regional collaborative effort that's being proposed by the Low Impact Development Center. I understand that the executive officer has received a letter from the LID Center making a recommendation that for communities that are willing to become involved in that collaborative effort that they be given a 2-year time frame so that they can develop criteria that will be both meaningful, economically and technically feasible, and also scientifically based. So again, I'd just like you to consider strongly allowing the four MS jurisdictions that 2-year time frame to develop those criteria. I've heard your comments. I appreciate your close evaluation of our program, and I've heard your concerns, and we'll take those to heart. Thank you.
And the question I have, I haven't seen that letter, but is that 2-year period then to create the permanent hydro modification controls, not the interim one?
My understanding is that the recommendation is a 2-year time frame to develop the criteria, which would then be the permanent
criteria.
And
right.
Then waive the requirement for this interim
right.
Permanent standard.
Okay. Great. Thank you for your comments. Mr. Bunin?
Richard Bunin, Governor Thurr, Director of Home Builders Association. I just have 3 concerns when I read the staff report. The fix-it ticket, the bonds, and I wanted to make sure I have a final question. The fix-it ticket is kind of an alarming concept. When I get one of them from CHP, it's for an obvious reason. I got a broken tail light. I go to a car place, I get it fixed, it costs me $50. It's kind of an open and shut, you can't argue. But somebody coming out and doing an inspection on my site and going, Phil, I'm going to fine you $1,000 or $2,000, I really think that needs to have, you need to make sure it has a hearing process and appeal process, because not all inspectors are always up to speed. So I'm hoping that as this goes through, that gets rounded out and made more achievable. Mm-hmm. The other, in the same paragraph on page 4 in the staff report, says you're recommending performance bonds for all projects by the county. Post performance bonds on all projects disturbing more than 500 cubic yards. We're under the impression now that we're already bonding for that. When we record our map, we are bonding for all public improvements. That includes all stormwater things that we do now. We have a couple of situations where we're double bonding and triple bonding to various agencies, but that's a whole different issue. I'm not sure that's going to do anything other than the money we're already paying out now. And going back to the first concept and the second, is I just want to make sure, because this is the first one that's kind of in the process and going to the next one, that it's going to go through the same kind of full public review and public hearing process. We get all of our time to come in and speak, although I'll have a lot less to say in the future about free development. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's the end of our speaker cards. Any further comments or questions from the board? Mr. O'Malley?
Well, I was wondering about that bonding issue, because it does seem like, my understanding is, the bonding covers all contingencies related to a project. So maybe staff could comment. Is that already incorporated, or what's the purpose of any additional bonding?
We're just giving suggestions to make sure that the county's enforcement tools are being used effectively. And that we're, you know, preventing any further water quality discharges or issues on these sites during inspections.
My assumption is that it's like insurance. Anything that's currently required is probably covered. So if this document becomes another requirement, then that would be incorporated under any bonding on a project. Maybe our attorney could clarify that, or it's not an issue at this point.
Can I ask where
we're
in
looking
this?
At another question that come up? So just repeat your question.
Mr. Buhn and Home Builders Association brought up the issue of possibly requiring additional bonding on a project related to some of these water-related requirements. And the understanding was that existing bonding covers all requirements on a project, whatever happens to be the legal requirements in a particular jurisdiction. So it seems like existing project bonding would cover, as long as we make sure it's clarified that this is another requirement.
I would think that's something the city, you know, could look at and determine if that's a tool that they can use to make sure that BMPs are implemented, you know, correctly and on time. I'm sorry, the county.
So this is just a suggestion to the county. Okay, thank you.
I don't have any more to add on that at the moment.
Okay. Did we solve that one? Okay. All right. Any other board comments or questions on this? Okay. What's going to happen next with the county's in September, they're going to come back with responses. Well, they're going to come back with their three-year report, plus incorporating additional information required by your April letter.
Correct.
I'd like to see something, some status report at that time, just to see how they're doing. What would be appropriate?
A written status report.
A written status report would be great. You know, even seeing what you did with the, your letter in terms of the amount of detail you put into kind of reviewing what was going on. I just want to make sure that the general permit violations have been corrected. You know, the other violations that are just more swamp related to what they proposed to do have been taken care of. That the issues that you have red flagged for correction, you know, haven't fallen through any cracks.
Now, does our response to the county to the county's annual report, would that suffice for what you're looking for?
Yeah, that would be sufficient. That'd be a written report if we could just see that.
We're going to get the response from the county, and we'll need to evaluate if that's adequate.
Yeah.
And that will probably be a written response.
Correct.
Probably just provide those two.
Yeah, you could just provide it to us. We don't necessarily need a board item, you know, unless after we read the report, we think, uh-oh. All right. Thank you all very much, and we can move on to agenda item 15 and thank both of you.